recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Hey, Buzza. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on with the company. Get on.
Indeed.
Get it on. Dr. Drew.
Get it on, get it on, get it on, get it on.
Ba-ba-ba. He's boys I'm from Texas. He's just been his best. Yeah, I dare try to kill you, man.
Every time.
Drive my trash.
Drop.
All right. I want to thank our sponsors for today, BrickHouseADS.com, promo code ADS. I'll tell you about these guys. Very interesting stuff. MyPillow.com, promo code ADS, and GetRoman.com/ADS. And you can download your Pluto TV to all your favorite devices as well. So, Drew.
You know, I really do like our intro music. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I told you it would.
I know.
All those years ago when we started, you're like, bleh. And I was like, hey, Buzza. And you're like, boo, Buzza. And I was like, hey, man, Buzza. And you're like, yeah, but Buzza butter. And I was like, yeah, but it's made of. And you were like, well, and I was like, yeah, but it's about it.
And I was like, some Brigazagots and some Broods.
Brigazagots. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, my.
All right. Let's see. I know. The great Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. I got a little more Oprah still left in the docket. It's an interesting thing. I also? I had a breakthrough. I had like an Oprah breakthrough.
Yes. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. All right. I had a kind of a realization, which is as Oprah was sitting around, and I don't know what you're writing there, but Oprah, yeah, Michelle Obama.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to list out your clips, but
go ahead.
Distracted.
You'll figure it out.
Just give me a second.
As I was listening to Oprah and Michelle Obama speak, hearing about where they came from, this is on Oprah's podcast, I was realizing that while they were aware of racism acutely, and I don't know, how old is Michelle Obama and how old is Oprah?
Good question. 50s, 60s, right?
Oprah's 64. Yeah. Michelle Obama, 54, excuse me.
Yeah.
54. All right. When was she born? Maybe
Michelle Obama?
She's Sagittarius, Obama, right?
What month?
Yeah. I knew it. Pisces? I knew it.
This is a trick.
No, I don't know what she is. All right. We're the same age.
Yeah.
Well, she's going to
turn. She's born January 64.
She's going to turn 55 sooner than me.
Yeah.
She's a half year younger. I don't think that. Here was my realization hearing her and Oprah talk about racism. I don't think while they were talking about their past and their upbringing, at the same time that 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 9-year-old Michelle Obama, or I don't know her maiden name, was in the South Side of Chicago living with their family and experiencing forms of racism, mostly passed through the grandfather saying, you know, I couldn't get a job and I was a blah, 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 blah.
Oh, she was able to see it that way?
Well, no, but she said that my grandpa, right. but she wasn't. But I don't think she realized at that same time across the country in North Hollywood, there was a poor Ray and a poor Chris and a poor Adam who weren't getting anything, or teachers were ignoring us. There was no counselors. There was no jobs. Or no, I don't think she thinks that there was a white version of sort of what she was experiencing.
Right.
And she.
Or that a generation before my grandparents were experiencing something awful. Like
right.
This.
Now,
and, you know,
we weren't having people say, oh, we're not going to give you a job. You're white. She wasn't really experiencing that either. She was just experiencing, you're poor. You live in this neighborhood. We would get in the car, and as she would say, and go drive to the nice, you know, white neighborhood and see the big houses and dream about one day, whatever. Mm-hmm. she doesn't, I don't think she realizes there was a Adam Carolla version of that as well.
A big white population that was thinking that way. A lot of which didn't get out.
Right. Now, I never had any thoughts about racism or being oppressed. I had thoughts about living in squalor and being poor and struggling and not having this and not having that. I don't think they understand that there is huge swaths of the country that was sort of in the same position they were in.
And I would argue that that's probably – I've asked you this before and you've given me vague answers, but that the Italian-Irish immigration that came into this country that were severely dealt with in a bigoted manner, that may be transgenerational effects of that.
Well, I can definitely say that my dad, you know, growing up in South Philly and having like an entire family live in one little shitty house. And
when did they come over from Italy? Is that generation?
His parents probably.
Yeah. So, you know. I mean, they were treated like shit.
Yeah. And they were poor and they were treated like shit and they were called Guinea and they were stupid. And my dad was
dirty, filthy, horrible stuff.
My dad was probably wore the scars of a lot of that. And so he was downtrodden. But what I'm saying is I think as I heard the two middle-aged women talk about their upbringing and talk about racism, I realized they didn't realize there was a white version of them living in North Hollywood.
No, that's right.
They thought when they went to the nice houses and drove through the nice neighborhoods, that's what white people did. Mm-hmm. I think they didn't understand that there is a version of that. Just like I talk to people today where they go, well, you never experienced this and you never experienced that. And I go, well, of course I have.
Yeah.
That's how we grew up.
Yeah.
Now, again, just for clarity, I wasn't being discriminated against. We had all the things that go along with discrimination besides discrimination, just all the financial stuff where you don't get this and you don't have access to that and you can't go there and you can't – there's no tutors, there's no homework, there's no books, there's no vacations, there's no travel, there's no culture, there's no anything. Yeah. You just sit here in no air conditioning and sort of rot. I don't think they ever think about that going on all over the place with everybody simultaneously of all different colors.
Yep. Right.
So it becomes a very, this is what happens and this is how you're treated. Now, I didn't have anything to chalk it up to, and neither did Ray and Chris, other than just poor, bad parents and nothing.
I pointed this out before. Chris's parents, Ray's parents, rather, running away from World War II. I mean, who knows what the hell they were dealing with.
I think they may have been asked to leave the country.
Well,
I'm not
lucky
sure.
Them.
I'll play you clip three, which is the one it always drives me nuts. I don't mind the part where people discuss the horrors of the past, racism and Jim Crow and all that kind of stuff. Every Martin Luther King Day, I have no qualms about the discussion of the past. I hate it when they stop and go, we still live in that society. That's the part that's dangerous to me. But here's Oprah and Michelle Obama.
Dandy was a brilliant man. Grew up in South Carolina in the South, and he was one of the many millions of black folks who migrated north in hopes of getting jobs but couldn't get a job. He was smart. He should have gone to college. He probably should have been a professor. But that was the plight of black men and still is today.
Yes.
In a culture of racism and inequality where a lot of people don't get the opportunity even if they have the skill.
I love it when one super rich, powerful black chick goes and still is today, and the other jumps in, the other billionaire jumps in and goes, yes. I don't know. I feel like still is today, like it was for Grandpa Dandy, who could have went to college, could have been a professor, but because of the color of skin, and still is today. That's wildly irresponsible, and it's dangerous. And you shouldn't be throwing that shit out just willy-nilly. You really shouldn't. I don't mind you talking about current forms of racism and pockets and where it exists, but just a sort of the blanket stuff of, yeah, it still is today. Oh, yeah. Really? That we haven't come that far since There's no other examples. How about the two of you? You ever think about that? Now, I get it. You're exceptional, you see.
Lucky.
No, wait, lucky.
That doesn't work.
Yeah. No, you're exceptional.
Yeah.
What we're saying is see what's going on? I've transcended this. You think regular people can do that? Absolutely not. It's a grandiosity. You can say there's two forms of bragging. There's I'm great, and then there's you going, I was in a racquetball tournament once, and I played the whole second stretch with a dislocated pinky, and I go, huh. I had a broken leg in high school and played the whole second half on it. Anyway, that's just information.
That's just you.
That's just information for me to share with you. All right, I'm sharing information, but what am I saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm a little better than you. Mm. So it's still going on today. Play one more time and listen to Oprah's quick grunt in there. By the way, how much of this is Oprah seeing on a daily basis, systemically? There's a lot of broken black families. There's a lot of violence in the black community. But I'm saying what Grandpappy experienced. That's still going strong? One of you has a two-term president husband who's black. All right. One more.
Later. Dandy was a brilliant man. Grew up in South Carolina in the South. And he was one of the many millions of black folks who migrated north in hopes of getting jobs but couldn't get a job. He was smart. He should have gone to college. He probably should have been a professor. But that was the plight of black men and still is today in a culture of racism and inequality where a lot of people don't get the opportunity even if they have the skill.
All right. So, you know, you're overqualified black guy today, but you don't get the job. Because that's our culture. It's actually quite the opposite. Everyone's looking to round out their roster ethnically, and given the same skill set, you'll probably get hired or gain admission into a UC college more quickly than an Asian would, let's say, for instance, because we're seeking that out. So in a way, in many instances, it's the opposite. It's been going on for a while. Like I said, I tried to be a fireman. That didn't work. When I walked into the firehouse, I just went like, I'd like to be a fireman. He went, good luck. And I was just like, why? And he's like, because you're white. So that stuff was going on in the 80s. All right. But you know, Drew, the fire department needs to reflect the community that it serves. Like, you know, when you go into a Chinese food place, you want everyone to be blue-eyed. Right? Because they got to reflect
the community.
The community. I got another good one for you in a second. First, I'll tell you about Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens. Most supposedly healthy green drinks are actually packed with sugar and made from extracts instead of real food. Famously, our own Dawson here was drinking his big green explosion, and all it was a bunch of banana and pineapple juice and sugar and not much else. A team of physicians from Brickhouse Nutrition developed a real superfood specially designed to enhance your health. Field of Greens. I talked to these guys quite a bit about this. As a matter of fact, I have it on me as we speak. I've had a very long day today, and I need my Field of Greens. One scoop has all the full servings of real, certified vegan, vegetarian, and USDA organic fruits and vegetables, complete with antioxidants. Visit BrickhouseAds.com. Use the promo code ADS for 15% off your first order. That's BrickhouseAds.com. Promo code ADS. Just put it in your water bottle.
Ooh, there
it is.
Shake
it up. Yeah. And there it is. All right, let me play you clip number four. This one I really enjoyed because you think to yourself, all right, from Michelle Obama's perspective, we live in a racist nation. Right, but now you're married to a guy who's black who did two terms as a president some years ago, so how does that work? I mean, I don't know. In a way, I think it kind of flies in the face of your racist nation. No one ever argues against instances or pockets of or whatever you want to call it, but certainly an outlier if the president can win the, I don't know, he won the popular vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. This is what happened. You know what happened, Drew?
Fluke.
No, can't be fluke times two.
Oh.
We'll figure out.
Did you feel a pressure being the first black family? Because, you know, we because we've all been raised with, you've got to work twice as hard, to get half as far.
Hillary was the safer bet for them because she was known, you know, the opening your hearts up to the hope that America would put down its racism for a black man.
So then the deal is we were going to
put it away,
ignore racism for a couple of terms, and now we're back.
I see.
See what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I have an assistant, so I was like, hey, Matt, hold my racism. I'm going to go vote for Obama, and then I'll do it again for a second term. Mm. And now I'm like, hey, buddy, give it back. And he was like, possession is 9/10 of the law. And I said, talk to Garrigus, and I just pulled my racism. So we put our racism as a country, we put it down long enough to vote in a black president, but we're just setting it down. We weren't not racist. We just set it down. It's an interesting way of looking at it. I would argue that if you can, in fact, just put it down, then that's more than most countries can do. And again, what if you were just an arsonist, but you could just put it down? Okay. Well, then you're not starting any fires. So if you're capable of putting your racism down, then maybe that's evolved. I don't know. It's philosophical.
Maybe the next generations won't have it then.
We're all racist, but if you're a racist umpire, but you can just put all your feelings aside when Jackie Robinson comes sliding into home plate and call him safe, well, then I don't know. What practical difference does it make? This thing of like everyone's got to look in their heart, and do we really?
We need our truth.
We need our truth.
What's your truth, Adam?
All right. You know, that's how Drew stops talking whenever you talk about racism. That's the one time he stops talking.
Well,
how about how opioids affect racism?
Oh, now we're talking.
Yes.
No, I mean, I don't have.
I get it. You don't want to get in trouble.
No, I have slightly different views than yours.
Well, go ahead.
And so
Give it to me.
I don't fully understand it. I do believe that there is some subtle stuff that, you know, that I imagine some people feel. It is a lot better than it used to be, certainly. And there's a lot of intergenerational transmission of all kinds of horrible things.
I agree.
The fact that I don't realize the full extent of racism came clear to me when I was staying next to a black woman who was trying to get a cab, and cab after cab after empty cab went by. Now, these weren't white guys driving the cabs, but she says they deal with this all the time. The certain ethnicity cab drivers will not put a black person in their cab.
Well, that's them, though. I understand that ethnicity.
I understand, but that's still – they're Americans driving those cabs even though they're from other places, and they're having to deal with this kind of thing that I wasn't even aware of.
Why do you think they do that?
Why do I think those cab drivers behave like that?
Yeah.
It's something from their heritage, something from their country of origin. Even though they're naturalized citizens, they've carried some stuff with them from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
It's not but it's here with us, you know, and I wasn't aware of it. That's all.
All right.
So I'm uncomfortable talking about it.
Do you think they've had any experience while they're here?
I was saying, so a well-dressed black woman, and they would not, you know, as a professional.
I'm just asking.
I can't imagine they had a backstory. So they've had, trust me, my wife has given them more trouble than this one ever would have.
They have no idea what they're signing up for when that's
well, that's racism.
Yes, you have a question, Gary?
If the same thing was said that she just said, but by someone on the other side of the political aisle, don't you think there would be a lot made about the sound she made in response to Oprah's question? Like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would be, you're making fun of the disabled community.
Well, how about, yeah. Oh,
no. I mean, think about that's that. Just a generation that you come from,
yeah.
Gary.
I was going to say, we don't even hear it. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I don't hear it that way from, you know, how I was raised or my childhood. That was just what you did to mock people who you were insinuating were stupid. But now...
Well, it's kind of weird because duh may have started off as duh, but then at a certain point it became a word that meant no kidding or no shit. So it's a sound that became a word that... Now, if you go limp with your hand and beat your chest and go, Ray used to
That's
do that and hit himself violently. Like, Ray would go like, like he, it was worth it just to see him smash his rib cage as hard as he could. But I think if it, I think it's accompanied with the chest slam, it's a little, it's a line cross. Sorry, Drew.
MyPillow, the folks at MyPillow.
Oh, I got one of these.
Yes, I do too. I love these. I was a MyPillow consumer before
MyPillow
came to us. I love these things. It stays cool all night. No more 3 a.m. wake ups to flip it over, get to the cool side. It keeps its shape. It, I have neck and shoulder problem. And the MyPillow, my wife got it for me. She goes, I'm going to get one of those MyPillow. I'm like, what is that? And I got it, and I am like, I'm like one of these people now have to travel with it.
You're sleeping your truth.
I'm sleeping my truth. Toss your MyPillow in your washer and dryer. It's like new. 60-day money-back guarantee. 10-year warranty. Made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the buy one, get one free special. Use the code ADS for one pillow when you buy one at regular price. So we're getting a buy one, get one free at regular price plus shipping. ADS. Take advantage of their best offer. Go to MyPillow.com. If you have any issues with neck and back and have trouble sleeping at night, it makes a huge difference. MyPillow.com. Click the buy one, get one free special and just enter the code ADS and you'll buy one, get one free.
Hey, Jimmy, 38, Florida.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Well, pretty happy to be on the show. Thank you very much. Basically, in the past, I found myself working for some bad guys. Mm-hmm. And in the interest of getting to the point, to sum it up, seven of my friends were murdered in roughly 2 years. Mm-hmm. I was present for two of the murders. I watched one of my friends get beat to death, and I watched one of my friends get stabbed to death, which, interestingly, seeing my buddy get beat to death was much worse than the stabbing.
I could buy that.
And when I say I watched, I really mean I was there. I was fighting for my life. I got stabbed. I took a tire iron to the face. And my real question is, now that I'm out of that life and getting into the dating world, how much about my past should I talk about to a significant other, specifically when it comes to PTSD?
Was this a drug thing?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Everything evils is drugs, right? It all sort of gets down to it.
Yeah. Well, PTSD, everyone understands that. That's easy to talk about. But why you have PTSD is a separate matter, right?
How'd you extricate yourself from that? Did you go to prison?
No, actually, both the guys I worked for were murdered. So I just left.
And what do you do for work now?
Surprisingly enough, I work for a law firm. I work from home. I'm not from Florida, but I live here on the beach because I can work anywhere in the country I want. So it's a nice, boring day job, you know?
Well, how much does that memory or your PTSD affect you?
You know, up until recently, it affected me every day, but I found CBD and it's been a huge help.
Oh, interesting.
And it's really calmed me down.
That's really interesting. How much do you take?
I take a 25 milligram pill maybe twice a day, and then I have a little vape pen with CBD that I just kind of take as needed. If I'm going out into a busy bar, I'll take more.
Sunday Scaries.
Oh, I have those.
Yeah.
They're yummy.
Yep, I do too. And they have a dropper. You can take it under your tongue.
How many milligrams are in one of those chilies?
I was going to have Matt look that up. I'm not sure. I think it's probably about 5 or 10 milligrams.
I thought it was 10. That's the number that's in my mind.
That's me too.
I could be wrong.
Gary's got a good mind for numbers, so if that's what's in your mind, I'll go with that.
I'm fascinated by it. That's been enough to really reduce your PTSD. That's very interesting. And you might think about getting some treatment for that too, some EMDR, that sort of thing can really help unwire some of these issues.
Anything with initials is going to be effective.
But the question is, when should he tell somebody he's dating that he was in that kind of scene?
I don't know how much of that should be shared and how often.
But if
10
he's
milligrams per the gummies.
Okay.
So here's the thing. They certainly don't need to hear anything about it on the first date.
For sure.
And then there's a question of, well, when do you need to share? Now, if you have genital herpes and you're going to go out for lunch and have a salad, then it does not need to be shared. But if you're going away to Mammoth to stay in a cabin for the weekend and it's snowing and there's going to be intercourse, well, you better cross that bridge at some point before intercourse. So to me, it's like if you're going to wake up with night sweats screaming and there's going to be a person laying next to you in bed, they're going to need some answers.
I would agree with that. And I would also say, I mean, it's a part of your history and you would not be at your liberty to just go, oh, this is a part of my life I'll just never talk about it. I just don't want to talk about it. I think you owe that to somebody who you're intimately involved with because it is your life. It's an important – you did it. It's your life, and it needs to be sort of shared.
But what if there were no visible side effects from those encounters?
I still think you'd want to – the question is when still, though. I don't know the when part. But it's too weird to me when people go, oh, it's part of my life I just can't talk about it. We'll never tell you about it. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, I get that. But so my feeling is I need to know if you could live with Jimmy, would you ever know that he was suffering from this?
You'd know.
Jimmy, would I know?
I would say once a year I do spiral out of control a little bit. I might grab a bottle of bourbon and just check out of life for like 2 days.
How about getting a little
treatment? It's about once a year.
Getting a little treatment so you don't do that?
Okay, well,
To be honest, Drew, I know that's always your answer, but I've gone to treatment and they said, well, I've met soldiers that have better stories than yours, and it just didn't help me. Like, I don't feel like talking about it over and over and over.
Okay, did you have EMDR?
I can't honestly answer that. Okay. I don't know what.
All right, we'll do that.
Look at a box with a light, and it's sort of almost in the hypnotic spectrum. And you had not had treatment.
Try that.
And the only other treatment that kind of works is group treatment, group process. And
the answer is feel it out too. All right, let me tell you about Roman. Whether it's a knee injury or worse, guys usually more comfortable rubbing a little dirt on it than seeing the doctor. 70% of guys with erectile dysfunction do not get treated. Roman. One-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. No waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, no uncomfortable pharmacy trips. Visit GetRoman.com/ADS. Fill out a brief medical onboarding. Chat with a doctor and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/ADS. If you have this problem, no more excuses. GetRoman.com/ADS for a free online visit. All right, Drew, what else are you thinking about?
We were talking a lot about happiness, and the other thing I told you I was thinking a lot about is moments of change, and you were talking about changing people's minds and things, but you know, we didn't finish that conversation we were having earlier in the week about how people do change, and it turns out that most change occurs because of other people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't change – this is back to, you know, what we were just talking about with Jimmy. Our brains, such as they are sort of locked into our wiring. Our wiring is what our wiring is, and left to our own devices, we sort of spin within that. It's only developing a connection with other people, a closeness of two bodies in space, that the possibility of breaking that circuitry develops. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in terms of changing, like for instance, when people have these moments where they're like, I don't know, all of a sudden I just saw myself as I was – what I find is they often were sort of hanging out with or spending time with somebody who's kind of different than who they would normally hang with, who might otherwise co-sign or fit with their bullshit or their wiring, somebody kind of different. And they sort of see themselves with a new pair of glasses. They see themselves through the eyes of that person or start to do that, not necessarily explicitly even, just sharing with that person a little bit pushes them a little bit out of their normal wiring where they can kind of see themselves. And if they're doing something problematic or if they need to lose some weight or if whatever it is, they see themselves as they are and they make change. Boom. They're just like, boom, that's it. I'm changing. And they're motivated at that point. It's interesting.
Yeah, I have a version of this all the time, which is who are the people around you and what are they telling you and why are they letting you do this? Mm-hmm. And I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always kind of marveling, and I've shared this with you a million times, that what about the husband or the wife? How come they don't intervene? How come they don't go, right. Hey, man, don't do this, or you're right. Screwing that up, or what about this?
We tend to gravitate, we are attracted to people that fit with our wiring.
Not
that,
me.
That are fitted with our
stuff. Oh, no. Sorry, Bob Dixie. Nobody wants to tell me, you're wrong, or going off the rails, or going the wrong direction faster than my wife.
Oh, sorry.
Nobody. Yeah. Second only to my kids and my goddamn nanny. I mean, they...
Well, it's easy with you. There's so much to talk about.
I literally said, I said to Olga, like she was like arguing with me about something today, and I said, hey, listen, person I employ.
Did you say that?
Yes, I did. Because I started calling her person I employ because she was like, we're not doing this time, we're not doing that way this time and that way. And I said, hey, listen to me, person I employ. That's what I called her, person I employ.
Did she laugh in your face?
She laughed.
Yeah.
But I literally had to go, I had to call her person I employ because she was like, I was talking about moving or something and I was going, we're going to move slowly. And she's like, we're not going to do it like we did it last. And I said, no. I said, no, we're going to. And she goes, because last time, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I get it. I made a mistake. We're going to do it differently. He goes, yes, it took us all. I said, listen, person I employ, let me finish talking.
My employee.
I think I felt it more effective to just call her person
I
employ.
Yes, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have a lot of head nodders around me. And I think it's probably a good thing. Jimmy Kimmel, James Dixon, those guys will tell you you're wrong faster than you can finish your sentence.
But saying you're wrong.
I don't mean you're wrong, but I mean like.
But listen, confronting verbally and intellectually is different than fittedness. The reason we find people that are fitted with us is we're attracted to them. Attraction is this very strange thing that brings people into our life that tend to mesh with our wiring such as it is. So it doesn't in any way interrupt that process. It's people that are different, they're kind of unattractive or maybe challenging to us or maybe don't feel kind of – those are the ones that if we spend a little time with, we might feel differently and then see things differently. You know, our conscious brain is really just trying to figure out what our body's feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always just trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. The brain thinks – it's thinking of things and being rational. It's really usually just trying to figure out whatever the body's feeling, whatever's sort of percolating through our emotional systems.
Agreed.
Here's what you agree on too. Pluto TV, leading free streaming television service. 100-plus TV channels, thousands of movies, on demand, all free. Pluto TV, never ask for a credit card. You don't even sign up to watch for free. You just download their app and pow, you're looking at that incredible lineup that it looks just like you have a cable system operating on your iPhone or whatever, wherever you download it. You can download it, of course, on your phone, Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream. Download Pluto TV for free. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Go to your app store right now and just download Pluto TV. It is the completely easy and legal way to watch your favorite television shows and hit movies for free and now and in your hand. Don't be silly. Also, don't forget to check out Chassis Channel, the Corolla Network, 501. Again, anywhere you stream, download that Pluto TV, and you'll be watching hundreds of TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, completely free and instantly.
Pluto TV. All right, Pluto TV. Tonight, Anaheim Grove, Rob Riggle, live pod. Come on out, say hi. Also, go to Corolla Drinks, say hi to Lynette over there. Go to Corolla. com and check out a lot of cool merch and other things and calendars and all that stuff. What do you got,
Drew? Just hit the Dr. Drew com. Check
out. Until next time, man. I'm Carroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Yeah, Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 channels, thousands of movies, on demand. Well, it's free. It's completely free. Normally when you hear on demand, you go, how much? Nope, not with Pluto TV. They never ask for a credit card. It's all legal. Just go log on and get it done. The time I'm doing this, you could have Pluto TV, download Pluto TV for free and do it on your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, your phone, whatever. And check out Chassy, C-H-A-S-S-Y, our channel, available now on Pluto TV. Stick around for the AP News.